Crack-a-lacka.
There's no arguing with the judge.
We are editing this entire segment out of the podcast.
I apologize. I will flagellate myself later.
I hope you come up with something good.
All right, this is going to go great.
How now, brown cow?
Red leather, yellow leather.
What's the haps?
What are the haps? You're listening to A Little Nonsense, where the conversation is competitive and the ads aren't real. I'm your host and moderator, Joe Moracle. With me, as always, the Gonzo and Fozzie Bear to my Kermit, Sean Keller.
Waka waka, Joe.
And Mike Barreto.
I was going to look up an anagram for my name for this, and then I totally forgot. Maybe next time.
Like Tom Marvolo Riddle? What are you talking about?
Actually, yes, exactly like that. That is an anagram.
Right. And you were going to do that because of how hilarious it would be?
No.
Mike's like, Petri Marimba.
No, actually, what? I didn't think about how funny it would be. It wouldn't be that funny. Okay. Unless my anagram was funny.
Yeah. Sure, you know. Sure. Well, great. So at the top of the episode, we're going to Sean.
Hey. I have a fun, what I think is fun, new segment called Editing Nightmare Theater.
Okay. Mike, what is this Editing Nightmare Theater brought to us by?
Penguin Gloves by Prescott and Fowler. Look, don't worry. Chinstrap penguins aren't even a little endangered. That's why here at Prescott and Fowler, we've exhausted unreasonable resources bringing a professional hunting expedition down to Antarctica to shoot and kill tens of thousands of them to make a whole bunch of mediocre gloves. Bird skin is okay for gloves, and their feathers are pretty soft, and they're water repellent, which is great. But the real reason you want penguin gloves is because they just seem like something fabulously rich people with a callous disregard for living things would wear. But again, don't worry, these penguins are abundant, and murdering thousands of them is fine, and even somewhat productive. The meat sucks, though, so with every purchase of a pair of penguin gloves, we'll ship 16 pounds of penguin meat to poor people. It's a win-win-ish type scenario. Finally, exotic handwear isn't just for the mega-rich. Back to you, Sean.
Thanks, Mike. That sounds frightening.
Can't wait to get my hands into some of those penguin gloves.
Indeed, yeah.
I'm wearing them now. They're surprisingly toasty.
They are adapted to very cold climates.
Mm-hmm.
Does each one come with a special certificate with the name of the penguin that was murdered to give you the glove?
For an extra $5.
Ooh, it looks like Wheezy here, so father of three. All right. Well, guys, new segment here called Editing Nightmare Theater. What we're going to do is we're going to do a little role-playing.
I'll get my dice.
No. We don't need dice.
Oh, that's a shame, because they're right here.
Yeah.
Wow, they really are. That's the shaking of dice, I can tell.
Joe is wearing his dice pants. No, look at. I'm gonna give.
Let me just get my 20 cider out.
I'm gonna give the setup to a short scene or a little story, and we're all going to improvise together and act out a scene with one primary goal in mind, which is to create as much havoc for me in editing as possible.
I want to make a perception check.
What? No, goddammit, Joe. It's not like that.
Okay.
So what we want to do is make this sound as badly as possible. Like, when it's done, we want it to sound like absolute garbage.
What I'm saying is that, you know, if there's a flock of geese that fly by suddenly, or look out, it's a train, and I have to look up all sorts of crazy sound effects to put in.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, yeah, see, I totally thought that you wanted me to do this.
Just sound like garbage? No.
And who will be calling scene?
Well, I will be. I'll be our... I'm going to set the scene, and then all right. We'll all three of us try to lead to some sort of a resolution in the next 10 minutes, and I'll let you know when it's over.
Sounds good.
Okay. All right.
We are space-time detectives, or STDs. In the future, cops have two partners. Mike, you're Detective Bonefire. And Joe, you're Detective Goldballs. I'm Detective Orbis. Now listen up, guys. King Thaddeus Babington the 69th has been kidnapped. And there's only three super awesome space cops who can find him and bring his captors to justice. A space lead just came in saying that someone saw suspicious activity in an old mining facility on Sarkon 5. Our ship touches down, and we begin our investigation. Bonefire, what do you see?
Gentlemen, I'll be with you in just a moment. I'm useless without my coffee. Fortunately, I brought a mid-20th century percolator with me, and I'm just gonna make myself a pot right now.
Good idea. Gotta stay sharp. Bonefire, why don't you do a sensor check? Any life forms?
Let me turn on my scanner here. I don't know why it sounds like a vintage P-51 Mustang, but it doesn't sound like any other kind of plane. It sounds like a vintage P-51 Mustang.
It sure does.
Wow, all right. Let me take a look at the screen here. Okay, sensor readings. I'm seeing some life forms, about 80... kilometers to the northwest.
Oh, shit. We're gonna have to take a vehicle there. How about the ship we just came down in?
No, the ship is only good for leaving atmosphere. But don't worry. In the cargo bay are three dune buggies, and we'll be able to take those over.
Oh, great. Hey, is that coffee done?
Oh, yeah. Do you want a cup?
I'd love one.
I'm just gonna pour it very slowly right now.
Oh, the good. That's perfect. Thanks. All right, guys, let's get in the dune buggies.
Do you want cream or sugar?
Cream. Cream would be great.
All right.
Thanks, Goldballs.
Goldballs, could you please stir that creamer in with a spoon?
Wait, why should I use a spoon? How about this Arizona Diamondback rattlesnake?
Well, I think that would be dangerous, but you're welcome to do that if you would prefer.
I'm just going to put it into this cocktail shaker and mix it up real nice.
I would personally like a smoothie.
What?
Yeah, no, I'd like a smoothie before we go.
You know, I actually have a blender with me.
Oh,
so
good, excellent.
We'll just take care of that real quick. You know, in fact...
We gotta rescue the king.
Let me just drop some ice cubes in this blender and then stir in some strawberries that we happen to have here in storage. It's real important that we do this before we go.
Yeah, it's important that you said they're strawberries because those have a very distinct sound.
Well, they make some kind of sound.
They sure do.
Yeah.
All right, guys, are we ready? We got to get to this facility that's 80 kilometers away.
Better happen those dune buggies.
My shoes are a little loose, though. Let me just turn on the auto-tightening feature.
Oh, yes.
All right, we can go.
All right, guys, we made it. Now look, it looks like there's some guards stationed outside. They must be holding him here. How should we get past these guys?
Well, you know, what I think is most notable about this indigenous sapient species on this planet is that their language sounds exactly like the kookaburra bird of Earth.
So you're saying we should try to communicate with the guards in their own language and distract them?
I think we should try.
Good idea, Goldballs.
It's a good thing I'm so familiar with the sound of that bird.
Yeah, Bonefire, you go up and take point.
Give you a best
All
shot.
Alright, let me just walk up there. It's the ground is rather it's covered in leaves.
It sure
I'll
is.
I'll be very careful.
Alright, good.
Don't trip over that small robot passing.
Oh, I almost missed him. Thanks, Goldballs.
You got it, Bonefire.
All right.
Here I go.
It worked. Look, all the guards are going away. Let's get inside that facility and find King Babington.
The giant metal door is opening so slowly.
They really should have put some WD-40 on those hinges.
WD-40 is a water-displacing oil. They should have used a lubricant on it. You know better than this, Bonefire.
God, it's still opening.
I'm sorry, Gold Balls. It's been years since I've had to use a lubricant.
All right, cut the chatter. Cut the chatter, you two. Let's get in there and save King Babington. Oh, all right. Okay, it's awful dark in here. Can we get some light? Anybody?
Yeah, let me just light this torch that I took out of my dune buggy.
Thanks, Gold Balls. All right, now, if these readings that I'm looking at on my scanner are correct, then Babington should be straight through this door. Oh, no, the door's locked. It's locked.
I guess
our mission's over.
This lock is actually, I know three things in life: coffee, torches, and locks. And this lock has a very unusual harmonic resonance. It will break down if it is subjected to the melodic tones of a harpsichord.
We just need to find the right frequency.
And a harpsichord.
And a harpsichord.
Oh, look, there's one right here.
How convenient.
I just happen to be a master musician at harpsichord.
I think the best option would probably be Bach's Air on a G-String. I think...
Oh,
4 or 5 measures of that might do the trick.
Completely agree.
iTunes will not flag 4 to 5 measures of that.
I'm pretty sure that is definitely public domain by now. That's
perfect. Here goes nothing.
And while you do that, I'm going to make another pot of coffee.
Oh, you brought the portable pot.
Sure did.
Damn it, Gold Balls. All right.
The one with the cooling fan.
It worked. Oh, look, there's the king.
Your majesty.
Oh, Bonefire, Gold Balls, and Orbis. My 3 best friends.
Hold on a moment. This isn't the king at all. This is a robot.
You discovered my secret. Do I smell fresh coffee?
Quick, Orbis. Play the harpsichord faster. Everyone knows that robots and locks have the exact same harmonic frequency.
No, no more music.
Wow, that was an interesting explosion.
Well, guys, looks like we saved the day again.
It sounded like thousands of tiny frogs.
Looks like we did it, guys. If only we knew what happened to King Babington the 69, who was kidnapped, never to be found again.
I suppose we'll have to save that for next time.
On Space Time Detectives.
End scene.
All right.
Well, I'll definitely be listening to that one. No doubt.
Yeah,
that'll be
a fun one.
That was a hoot. All right. Since there was like a clear out on that, I'm not even going to award a point.
Hey.
There's no need. So all right, we're going to move on.
Let's start building clear outs on every single one of our segments. And,
nobody gets points.
Everyone gets points. Next, we're going to Mike. Mike, what have you got for us?
I have a hypothetical that I'm pretty proud of coming up with on my own here. So, Joe, what is this hypothetical brought to us by?
This hypothetical is brought to us by Hand, the handiest handy app. Do your stairs need to be fixed? Maybe you just need to move a sofa. Every now and again, we all need a helping hand. A Little Nonsense is proud to announce and be sponsored by Hand, the all-new app that lets you hire handymen and women, or handies. After creating your account in minutes, you can immediately post tasks or just start looking for a handy. Maybe you've been reluctant to hire out your needs or you've had bad handies in the past. Every worker listed on hand is pre-screened and approved. So stop sitting on your hands. Gone are the days when you'd have to settle for a stranger. Now in as little as 30 minutes, you can be taken care of by a handy. And hand works on your schedule, so whether you need your hand job at noon or 3 a.m., your hands will be met. And only your needs, because hand jobs are all about you. If you're still unsure and sitting on the fence, let us tug you off with an amazing offer. Enter promo code DRYFIST. Enter promo code DRYFIST at sign up and receive two handies for the price of one. The all new hand app, available on the smartphone platform of your choice. Back to you, Mike.
You know, my grandma actually got me a handy for my birthday.
Oh, that's wonderful.
She gave me a handy for my birthday.
Mm.
It was bad.
All right, so I've got a hypothetical here. So you've learned about a unique ability that you possess that could lead to immortality. With your dying breath, you can swap your consciousness with anyone alive in the world. But if you do, they die in your body, and you live out the remainder of life as you see fit in their bodies. And again, on your deathbed, you're presented with the same choice. So you could technically do it forever. So what do you do?
Wow, that's a really... It's a really interesting proposition.
I would jump into the body of anyone that I don't like.
You see that? I thought about that, but then you gotta be that person.
Well,
I don't have to live
really.
Their life though. I'm just wearing their body.
But not just
body.
That,
right?
Sure, but you gotta really not like somebody to say, okay, you're gonna die now, right? I mean, you can't just be like, I vaguely dislike this guy.
You can't go into an old person because then the choice is going to have to be made again very soon. You can't go into a really bad person because they're probably in jail, you know, or have such a horrible reputation that life would be worse. So it's tough.
I mean, you can do those things.
No, I know. I'm just saying.
You could jump into a celebrity and then you got a great life, but you're damning somebody to
killing somebody
to death.
Yeah,
it's fine.
But that's what I'm saying. No, but that's what I'm saying is that it's easier on the conscience if you choose an old person or a really bad person. It's like, okay, well, you know, that makes it a little easier. But if you're choosing just a celebrity or someone who isn't a really horrible person or already close to death, then yeah, you're basically murdering somebody.
But
what if you can have it both ways?
I
choose Kevin Spacey.
Would you want to live out the rest of his life?
Yeah, that's the worst choice.
I mean, he has all the money he's going to need. I would just stay home and play video games.
Until he died, yeah. Then you could pick somebody else.
Until maybe I have to jump again.
I guess.
Maybe there's a better person.
Unless you want to, like, go out and get a sandwich and then, like, somebody throws an egg at you because you... diddled boys.
Please. I'm not going to go get my own sandwich. I'll have the sandwich delivered.
Not with
Thanks
Kevin
very much.
Spacey money.
Yeah. I'll have that sweet, sweet fuck you, I'm Kevin Spacey money.
All right.
I mean, you could... What you guys are not considering is the fact that...
How about a baby?
That's horrible, Sean.
No,
Jesus
wait,
Christ.
No, it's not, because a baby...
That's a callback.
No, listen, a baby doesn't have any, like, memory... Like, they're so young that it's not like you're taking away this big, long life. It's like you're just it's like giving a baby a shot. It's like they cry, but they're not going to remember it. So you do it when they're a baby, and then you get to live that whole life.
Wow, when you put it
it's
that
not
way,
like that at all.
Killing babies
it's exactly
is
like
totally
killing
fine.
A baby.
But I'm just
but
exploring
Sean, why do you
the
need,
problem.
Why do you need to live an entire life if you can just switch again at the end of your next one?
Mike, I'd like to change my answer. I now choose Sean.
Wait. I got to answer his question. Because, Mike, if you choose a baby, then you're killing less people over the length of time that you continue to do this, unless you're only doing it once or twice, because you're living a longer life in whatever vessel you choose, as opposed to jumping into a 40-year-old and then facing the same decision 30 years later. You're only facing that decision every 70 years or 80 years or whatever it is.
You know, there's a character in Dragon Age who does this.
Really?
And she does it to her own daughters.
Oh, that's fucked up.
Huh.
Right? Yeah, she has a daughter just so when she gets old enough to the, and to the point where she's going to die, she can transfer her consciousness to her daughter.
I mean, parents living vicariously through their kids isn't new.
That's literal.
it's not vicarious.
Yeah. But you guys, you're not taking something into consideration.
Can we go into dogs?
You're not taking the fact that you're leaving all of your loved ones behind.
Still fine.
Not really, because you're dying.
Yeah, leaving them behind either way.
Yeah.
But you're not, because you're still alive.
No. No, it's great. You go into someone who's even more handsome than you are, and then, you know, you can remarry your wife, and she doesn't know, but
so,
it's you.
So there you go. I mean, you still have your mind, so you can go back to the people you love and be like, hey, I'm still me.
Hey, it's me, yeah.
I'm in the body of a horrible murderer now, but...
I promise it's me.
But it's me. You got to convince him. That would take some convincing, but I think that's kind of important, right?
To go back?
Yeah, or are you just saying, I'll take this opportunity to start over?
Well, no, I mean, if you're dying of natural causes, then your wife is probably not far behind, and she doesn't have that power, so, I mean... Are you obligated to go back to
that's
her?
That's a good point, but you might have kids and grandkids that you want to spend time with.
Or
as a horrible murderer that you killed.
Why is it a horrible murderer, Mike? We're talking about Kevin Spacey.
Those are the only people Mike would choose. So
right. Well,
that's who it has to be in his scenario.
I didn't answer it yet, and that is true. I would have to pick somebody who in my estimation, and probably in the
deserves
estimation
it.
Of the law, yeah. But then you gotta, what do you do? Like, you're in prison, you know? So that's tough.
Yeah, you can't do that. You gotta pick someone who's at least a little innocent.
Or you could just die. That's an option.
It is an option.
I'm not that concerned with, like, the morality of it all. I know you're both shocked. I would just have fun with it. You know, I think, I'd start out picking people that aren't in prison, but they're also, you know, not great, or at least they really annoy me. Like, if I were to die now and jump prior, I might do like a Kirstie Alley. Because, you know, I think that would be super interesting.
Gender swapping.
Or you could go back and forth to experience what it's like.
Yeah, you could be black or white or you could be anything.
Totally.
You could do research, you know, you could be like a PI and you could find people that are horrible people that the law doesn't know about.
Right. Who deserve it, but they're free men.
I'll be Putin for a bit and run Russia. It'll be awesome.
Being Vladimir Putin or some other horrible world leader.
Kim Jong-un?
That's like, I think that's the best answer.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could affect world peace.
Yes.
Through that.
Or, you know, just have a really good time.
You just bounce around denuclearizing nations.
I mean, you'd have to wait till they were about to die. I guess you could ask people to shoot you. If you're a dictator, you could be like, just, okay, I'm good, now kill me.
Right. Give me a poison.
And bounce around, yeah.
That's a great answer.
I'm just going to say, just so we're all on the record, I would have to jump a lot before I said, you know what, maybe I'll make the world a better place.
So you take advantage of somebody's dope life.
Several
for a times
while.
Hell yeah. I would have a lot of fun before I thought about doing anything productive.
I guess everybody's got to die, right?
Well, I mean, if you've got the ability to be immortal, then you can take your sweet time having fun, you know?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and killing people as you're doing it, technically.
Name an immortal who doesn't kill people.
That's a tough one.
It just comes with the territory.
Yeah, that's tough.
Got nothing?
Yeah, no, I'm sure they don't exist.
Fantastic. All right, gentlemen. We've come to the game segment of the evening.
All right.
Yes, yes.
This is going to be a very, very different kind of game, but it's also the return of something we did previously.
Ooh.
It's the return of subjective trivia.
Oh, man.
All right.
Awesome. I like it.
All right. And what is the new edition of subjective trivia brought to us by Sean?
Hey, what are you doing?
We're going out.
Why?
I'm sick of seeing you like this. Come on, let's go. This fall, you gotta get back in the game, man.
I can't. No one even remembers me.
It's not about how you go out.
What's this?
It's mail. And look, it's got the wrong address. But how you bounce back.
I can't do it, okay? I don't even know who I am anymore.
Well, I do, damn it. You're my friend. And you're the mailer demon.
Server failure. Undeliverable. Quarantined. Rejected by the relay.
The mailer demon.
Morning, mailer demon.
Right back at ya.
Rated NC-17.
Oh, that mailer demon. One of the lesser demons.
Indeed.
All right, gentlemen, welcome to Subjective Trivia, : the Michael Winslow edition, a.k.a. acapella foliart.
Oh, my God. What?
I love Michael Winslow.
I'm pretty good at acapella foliart, I think.
So yeah. here's how this is going to play out. I'm going to give you some scenarios, and using only your mouths, you're going to try and create what that scenario would sound like.
All right.
Okay.
The rules are thus. Both of you will get to go each round.
Okay.
The order of which will be determined, by the 20-sided die I took out earlier. Sean will be odd, and Mike will be even. Sean, you will be going first. A 13 was rolled.
All right.
Every round, we will reverse it, though. So it will go Sean, Mike, Mike, Sean. That way, on each round, the same person is not always going first and able to listen to what the other person did.
Makes sense.
There's the most important rule is... you cannot use any words.
Okay.
Under no conditions can you use any words, and if you do, you are disqualified. One final note. We will not be finding out who wins during this episode.
Oh.
Explain. Because
is this going to be an audience poll?
This edition of Subjective Trivia will be judged by our listeners.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Good idea.
So if you go to littlenonsense.com at the time you're hearing this episode, you will be able to vote on each round who did better, Mike or Sean. The poll is going to stay up for 2 weeks, and it's going to close on Wednesday, October 30th, 2019, in case you're listening far in the future.
Hallows Eve Eve.
Before we begin, do you have any questions?
Just if someone is listening far into the future, do we get like flying cars, hoverboards? Like, you guys doing all right?
Aliens?
They can't answer back.
Well, maybe they can.
Are there aliens?
Ooh. Can you answer back? Yes.
Oh my God.
Wow. It happened. I've been waiting my whole life.
All right, gentlemen. Round one. Sean, you're up first.
All right.
Scenario number one, a water balloon fight, but the balloons are filled with sriracha mayonnaise.
What? Mmm.
Okay.
Fantastic entry. All right. Mike, you're up next.
This needs an 18 or older advisory on it. So,
I was going that direction, but it's so difficult to go second because it's hard not to do something
Jesus,
similar.
Jesus, Mike.
All right, I forfeit.
You can't forfeit. It's up to the audience.
Sure it is, yeah. But I use words. So.
When?
Like all this whole time that I've been talking.
Well, I assumed you were done.
Sure, yeah, then I'm done.
Because you weren't describing the scene. You were talking to us. All right, Mike, you're up again.
All
at
right.
The beginning of round two. Scenario number two, two robots having sex. Oh, wonderful.
Oh, that was horrible.
Sean, you're up.
That was art.
That was abstract art.
All right. Sean, scenario three. Waking up and discovering that you now have eight nipples. Fantastic. Mike, you're up. Wow, that got dark.
Just kill yourself?
That's right. Tim the Tool Mad Taylor has eight nipples and he killed himself.
Jesus.
All right. Mike, scenario number four.
Sorry. It's dark.
Right. It was real dark. Mike, scenario number four, a running lawnmower is turned upside down and a bunch of room temperature hot dogs are thrown into the blaze. This is my favorite thing we've ever done.
Okay, that's it. That's it.
Oh, Jesus.
Sean. Sean.
I feel like this one is pretty self-explanatory. I feel like Mike just did the noise. But I'll give it a shot.
You got it's who does it better. The audience will vote.
All right, here we go. My windscreen is so dirty right now.
Gross.
Oh, shit.
So misty.
All right. Sean, scenario 5. You're still a human man, but you're giving birth to a bear. All
right.
Okay, Mike, you're up.
He said a man, not a little bitch.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's a good showing, Mike, but you are disqualified.
That's not a word.
You said yeah at the beginning.
That's right.
Also, I was expecting you to be like, it's a man.
All right. Sean. Bad. Scenario 6.
Oh my God, there's more scenarios. How many more scenarios are there?
There's 7 total.
No, this is it. This is the last one my voice is going.
No, we can do 2 more. We got it.
You can do 2 more. All right, scenario 6. A trash bag full of rotten pumpkins rolling down a large hill.
I'm sorry, I need that description one more time.
A trash bag full of rotten pumpkins rolling down a large hill.
What was that last bit?
The bag popped.
I don't know.
All right, Mike, you're up. Let's hear your trash bag.
Oh,
I like the Doppler effect with the trash bag.
Yeah, that was extremely realistic. It's like I was at that hill.
Yeah.
Well, it has to start out semi-firm, you know?
Well, it's hard, it's hard to recreate the rustling of a plastic bag. So you went with what you could definitely recreate, which was the weight of the pumpkins, you know?
Yeah.
Smart move.
Yeah. All right. Scenario 7. This is the final scenario. Mike, a raccoon is digging through a dumpster and then suddenly achieves human intelligence.
But you can't use words.
But you can't use words.
Okay.
It found a gun and blew its own head off.
What could be more human? Oh shit, I'm a fucking raccoon.
Oh god.
I mean, I can't fault his logic. All right, Sean.
He was just having a nice time eating garbage.
Sean, poor little guy. Oh man. Must be hard to be a smart raccoon.
Apparently.
The suicide rate is currently at 100%.
That one was at least happy for a minute.
That was subjective trivia, the Michael Winslow edition. Listeners, please go to littlenonsense.com and look for the link to the poll where you can weigh in and judge which one of these two fine contestants gets to walk away with a negative point in a future episode.
Wow. Thrilling.
But none will be awarded today.
And we apologize to anyone who has a family member who was a raccoon who took its own life. That was very insensitive of us to make light of that situation.
Oh,
all right. Gentlemen, that brings us to the last segment of the evening. And for that, we're going to Sean. Sean, what you got for us?
Well, hey, for this last segment, I've got a boring science topic that's going to get cut.
Yes.
Well, I mean, probably.
We're only at 54 minutes recorded, and there was a bathroom break, and Mike disappeared for a while at the beginning. So don't be so sure.
All right. We'll see. We'll see.
I don't want to put out a 40-minute episode.
Well, we'll see. What is this possibly cut segment brought to us by?
It's, I'm glad you asked, Sean, because... because
the commercial would go with it.
It's brought to us by shoes. Do you use your feet a lot to step around on the ground? Does the ground sometimes have pointy or uncomfortable things on it? Is it made out of something pointy? Or maybe sometimes it's too cold or hot for your feet. Well, look no further. Now there's shoes. Shoes are semi-firm enclosures for your feet that protect them from harm and provide support while you're using your feet to step on the ground and other surfaces. Usually to get from one place to another. There are different kinds of shoes designed for using your feet for slightly different reasons. For example, if you take a lot of steps in rapid succession, you might need running shoes. If you like to step around and stand outdoors on top of mountains and inside of forests, well, maybe some boots or some trail shoes might be the best shoes for you for those things. So...
Sorry, who wrote this copy?
So go buy some shoes today. Everyone's wearing them. Back to you, Sean.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks. And thanks to our sponsor, Shoes. Yeah. I know I wear them.
I sure do also.
I don't know about you guys.
I have multiple.
I didn't know they existed. This is the first time hearing of them.
You're gonna love these things. You might even buy two of them.
They sound great.
All right. Well, hey, folks. I want to talk about neuroethics.
Neuroethics.
Okay. I was really just saying it phonetically. Neuroethics.
Yeah, I thought you were bringing up like. You know, the old Roman Caesar.
Yes, or the bad guy from the Star Trek reboot.
Right, yeah.
No, so our knowledge of how brains work continues to advance at a staggering rate. So, several recent large targeted projects, the United States Brain Initiative, the European Union's Human Brain Project, the China Brain Project, and others promise to accelerate that rate even further. So understanding how human brains function creates ethical, legal, and social implications. So I want to discuss a few of these things with you guys and kind of get your thoughts. The first of which is cognitive enhancement. What if money could buy intelligence? Is that something that we would need to have restrictions on? Is that totally okay? Because... hey, fuck it.
I don't think so, because right now money is a complete substitute for intelligence.
What do you mean?
If you're rich, it doesn't matter if you're fucking dumb.
Yeah, that seems okay. Pretty
so,
clear.
Yeah, so it really doesn't matter.
No, it matters to me for sure. I'm not okay with being able to buy any kind of... neuro enhancement,
whether it be just your intelligence or actual like physical skill or anything,
right? Not until we're in a situation where we have an equitable economy. You know, I mean,
you just think it's unfair because the more powerful will get more powerful.
Yeah, it'll create further stratification of our existing system if only the wealthy have access to an ability to enhance their intelligence.
Why are you a socialist, Mike? I mean, why do you think everyone deserves to have these powers if they can't afford it? What do they do to earn it?
Well, I don't
want to give everyone superpowers.
I don't equate earning.
They weren't born to the right people.
That's right. Why are you going to give them?
Exactly. I don't equate earning money or having money to any kind of value as a person.
Okay. But yeah. You think that only certain types of people should get these improvements?
Well, the ideal scenario for me would be that anyone who chooses would have access to improvements.
I see.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't think we could construct that kind of fairy tale world, though, until we've already gotten all of the enhancements, or someone that's been like enhanced beyond what we could consider has taken complete control of the world. Because right now society just doesn't work that way. So what I'm going to do is go into the murder business and make a bunch of money so that I can afford to augment my brain. Do I get telekinesis?
I will say
eventually. Yeah.
I will ask you this.
Sweet.
Does the augmentation go beyond natural boundaries of human intelligence?
So, I mean, eventually it's gonna, right? I mean, right in this scenario that I'm proposing right now, it does not. The next question I was going to ask was if we could become sports stars by improving skills using, you know, like Matrix-like learning programs. Like, that to me is more realistic than you can now move objects with your mind. It's like, okay, if you can figure out how to train your brain to give you the reaction time necessary and, okay, I need to move this muscle this way, you know, muscle memory, things like that, I think it's much more feasible that you could, you know, download the skills to become a great basketball player.
That may be true.
More so than you could download the skills to, like, fly or move things with your mind.
But,
I mean, unless I can download a better body, it's not going to fucking matter.
Well, no, I mean, of course, it'll, to an extent, it'll depend on what your physical vessel is capable of. But in things like reaction time, I mean, I don't know, you can maximize things, right? Just like a computer, you can maximize whatever hardware is in there. Just the same thing with a human body. It's like, okay, it's not going to ask your muscles to twitch faster than they're able to. So the better the vessel, the better you can do. But it's not, you know.
You're just overclocking your brain.
You know what that would do really well is it would trivialize sports.
It would.
That
would
be great.
I also say that that isn't actually possible.
Wait, that what's not possible?
Not in my eyes.
Trivialize sports?
They couldn't get any more trivial.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah, Mike is wanting to render them obsolete.
Yeah, I'm saying you could just be a great athlete by having a few hundred dollars to spend on this procedure.
But you love the Olympics, Mike.
Sure. Yeah. No.
Well, so the Olympics would be fucked.
I'm totally willing to say goodbye to the Olympics for. I'm not like that attached to it. I mean, it's not. If everybody gets to be awesome, I mean, that's fine. I think as far as if cost is a factor, like anything else, given time, it's going to be, if we don't have an equitable economic system, like I said earlier, eventually it'll be accessible to the masses because that's just the nature of capitalism.
It's going to be partially subsidized by ads that are beamed into your brain.
Yeah.
You're just going to be sitting there watching TV and all of a sudden you just see a bunch of chicken everywhere. Popeyes!
Yeah, you're going to crave it. Or maybe see it in your dreams. Yeah. You wake up, wow, I really feel like having some Red Robin burgers. Mm.
Interesting you chose dreams. Is that perhaps from an episode of Futurama, Mike?
God damn it, Joel. As a matter of fact, it is, yes.
Yeah, weird that you would bring that up.
What if we figure out how to recreate love in the brain, the chemical reaction that makes us feel love between ourselves and someone else? Should we or can we, you know, program two people to love each other? Is that something that should be legal or allowed or accessible?
I'm sorry, who's making the decision to program both people to love each other?
I'm sorry.
It's me.
I'm saying that, like, what if the technology were available and say you've got someone like Joe who has no problem, you know, kidnapping someone and then subjecting them to a brain augmentation that...
Oh, so like a love potion, basically.
Yes, yeah. Yes, it's basically a love potion. Well,
have I said these things previously? Because I don't not recall out loud. Being okay with that.
Joe is not totally out loud. Fine with kidnapping.
No, I'm saying that's that, you know... If you have someone with lesser than high moral standards who might want to abuse the ability to chemically fall in love with someone, you know, which is bound to happen if the technology is there, how do you control that? Is that something you offer? Is that something that you regulate? Is that something that, like, how do you deal with that?
Well, you've got.
Oh, that would have to be highly regulated.
But you've got all kinds of other biological functions acting against your desire to be with somebody. I mean, there's not like, it's not like, I'm really very into this person, but he's a murderer, so maybe I shouldn't get with him. I mean, that's still going to be a thing. You're not controlling their brain.
Well, I mean, that's what we're talking about is controlling brains.
But what you're talking about is making somebody fall in love with somebody. You can love somebody who sucks and not be with that person because they suck, because you're still a person who's capable of making rational decisions.
I guess I'm just
but
saying.
But far more likely is you know they suck, but you still want to be with them because people are weird.
I'm just saying, for starters,
I definitely don't think it's ethical at all to make anybody fall in love with you. I think that's horrible. It's not ethical to make anybody do anything in their brain.
I just think that if the ability is there, then there will be people who try to abuse it.
I'm just saying I don't think the end result would be as bad as it might seem at first glance, because have you ever been like just completely under a spell where you would do anything for somebody that I can imagine, wow, I'm really into this person since puberty. Exactly. Yeah, no, it's like this person is really, really great. I'm really into this person, but you know,
it's not a zero tolerance thing.
I get you.
I don't think that would be universal among everybody, though. There are just way too many dumb motherfuckers who think with their heart way more than their head.
But at the same time, if they're enjoying it, if they're feeling love and pleasure from it, then it's not that bad.
Right. I mean, are there any neuroethical dilemmas that you two have considered?
Wow.
Trying to salvage this segment so I don't have to cut it.
I mean, I think about mind control a fair amount.
Well, that's essentially what we were just talking about.
Right. Specifically, as it relates to magic, though, I think about magic fairly frequently. And, you know, one of my favorite book series, The Dresden Files.
Ooh.
One of the laws of the secret magical world is you can't use magic to control or change the mind or thoughts of another person.
Okay.
And it's punishable. It's a capital crime. And I always thought that was a really interesting thing to make sure to throw in there, because that would absolutely be a concern.
Well, it makes perfect sense, because it's with magic.
Totally.
With magic, you have an ability to act upon somebody's mind in the same way that a person has the physical ability to act upon somebody else physically. So.
Yes.
But eventually we'll be able to do that through technology.
Sure.
I mean,
right.
You know,
it's a violation, the Arthur C. Clarke quote.
And how do you police that? I mean, with magic, I feel like it'd be the hardest.
Well, in the Dresden Files, there's a collection of wardens who enforce the law that report to the High Council.
Well, enforcing is one thing. I'm just saying, like, how would you know whether or not someone compelled someone else to do something?
Well, there'd have to be traces of magic or something?
Some sort of evidence?
Actually, yes.
You could see someone's
brain was altered.
Okay, so you get the same thing through technology.
Similar, yeah.
Right.
You'd have to be willing to open yourself up to that, because there'd have to be an access point of some kind. If you're willing to have some kind of neurological modification, then you have to have technology implanted, right, in your brain that allows you to be modified technologically.
Well, yeah, but I don't know about that. I mean,
initially, maybe someday that's not the case.
So they're just modifying brain waves. Yeah, exactly.
Yes, brain waves.
I don't know about that.
I don't know that someone needs to volunteer to go through a surgery to put a port in their head.
Just because I didn't say it earlier, I know there's some people listening who don't know the Arthur C. Clarke quote. Any technology sufficiently advanced is indistinguishable from magic. So, brain rays, man. Brain rays.
Yeah, if we went back 200 years with a cell phone, like, everyone would think we were stupid.
Cell phone, I mean.
You would not get any reception.
A flashlight would do it.
Zero bars.
A fleshlight. People would be very... They'd be
a
like, flesh what's that?
Light.
You'd be like, oh, you fuck it. And then you...
Oh my God, did you carve a woman up and then put her lady parts into that tube?
Sure did.
And then you return...
Hang him.
You return to your time and humanity is gone. Wow, they never made more babies.
And all it took was a fuck toy.
There's nothing but fossils of old fleshlights and skeletons strewn about the
fossils
desert.
Fossils shouldn't even be able to form in 200 years. What the hell happened?
They invented silicone so quickly.
That went to different places than I expected.
Yeah, that was not related to neuroethics.
It wasn't. Gentlemen, that's the end of our episode, and once again, with a tied score, Mike and Sean are this week's losers.
Yeah!
There's the Dean scream
that,
again.
That's our show. I've been Joe Moracle.
I'm Sean Keller.
And I'm Meteorite Perimeter.
It's not funny, Mike.
Yeah, it's not funny.
That doesn't actually work anyway.
No, it's
listen,
not.
We'll,
no,
I googled we'll, it real we'll fast. Figure. It didn't work. There's no K in there or.
Yeah. Oh. Listen, guys, we'll figure this out for Mike. I'm just gonna restart the 20th century percolator coffee maker and make a pot real quick, and we'll hash this out.
Oh, no.
Have a great week, everyone. A Little Nonsense is copyright 2019 by its hosts. All ads are meant to be humorously fake. Any resemblance to a company, person, or other entity, real or imagined by someone else, is either entirely coincidental or purposeful parody. If you have a question, comment, or discussion topic, you can email us through the mail hole. That's mailhole@littlenonsense.com. You can find more episodes and anything else related to the show at littlenonsense.com. And now that the end of show business is concluded, I'll kindly ask, Sean, would you please take us out?
A little nonsense now and then is relished by the wisest men. A little whimsy here or there is often very necessary. Mingle a little folly with your wisdom, and you can be jolly. A little nonsense now and then is relished by the wisest men.